Welcome to Marketing for the Sales Guy, a podcast that aims to share marketing ideas that salespeople can use, but also hopefully will be relevant to B2B marketers that want to see sales results from their marketing efforts. Hello, everyone. My guest today is Rohan Chanduk, Director of Marketing Asia Pacific for Oracle. I was actually going to invite Rohan onto a later program because I've seen a lot of great stuff that he's written about demand gen and content marketing and ABM. And more recently, I saw him writing about AI in marketing. But the reason I invited Rohan today is because we did a podcast recently about webinars. And I saw a recent post of Rohan's offering some really great advice and some interesting thoughts on webinars. So I had to get him on the podcast for a follow-up. So welcome, Rohan, and thanks for joining us.
Thanks, Jeremy. Happy to be here.
Rohan, just as a lot of people kind of tell their life story, and I'm certainly not going to ask that of you, but would you mind kind of giving a kind of quick overview of what you do at Oracle?
Sure. Like most field marketers in the region, I live by the impact I can make on revenue, creating pipeline, and of course, fueling leads. So that's what I do for a living.
Oh, fantastic. Right to the point. Well, there's no doubt what you do. That's great, Rohan. Hey, listen, certainly the format for our podcast is to keep it brief and dive as deep as we can in 15 minutes on two or three aspects of a topic. And you know that's kind of going to be webinars and events today. Before we do that, though, although the podcast is called Marketing for the Sales Guy, our audience are mainly marketing professionals. But I do like to ask guests, first off, you know, what kind of marketing idea or marketing thoughts you have that would benefit salespeople as well. So was there any kind of thoughts you had that might benefit salespeople?
Given the current scenario we're all, you know, kind of forced into, and this may sound cliched, but it couldn't be more true than it is today. Given the environment we're all in, and I say this to our sales folks every day, there couldn't have been a better time for sales and marketing to really work hand in hand. From a messaging perspective, from a channels perspective, integrating and really showing empathy to your respective prospects. When you do this together as sales and marketing, being sensitive to the world around us and why we're doing what we're doing can have truly true business impact without needing to hard sell. So if ever there was a time for sales and marketing to really work as one, that's now.
Okay. No, I think that's a great point, Rohan. And as you said, timely advice as well. No, that's great. Okay, let's jump into the topic, which is really about webinars or virtual events that have always been important to B2B marketers, but now even more so. But you have an interesting perspective on that, Rohan. Can you share your ideas on this whole idea of webinars and virtual events?
Sure, Jeremy. When you look at things, look at how we are and where we are, right? Fundamentals haven't changed, and they never will. As a marketer, we still intend to either identify, anticipate, and satisfy customer needs, or we look at creating and then satisfying customer needs. It's just that all along, we've been used to thinking event first. And what's made, the current situation's made us change that mindset to think digital first. Webinars are one channel or one tactic within the overall portfolio of digital. I always advise, when I work with our teams here, I always say that the fundamentals of doing digital, data, the tactics, the tools, and the content, those remain. Nothing's changed. Webinars are one more tactic within our portfolio of tactics. My two cents on, given the current, focus on webinars, is that as a marketer, calling an online event or limiting your thinking of an online event to what a webinar can do is the same as calling an event an event. And it's like saying every event is an event is an event. It's true, but it truly isn't. There are events that serve specific purposes. There are formats that serve specific intent that you have. You have workshops, you have seminars, you have roundtables, you have more intimate conversations. If you call all of those an event, then yes, you know, all virtual events are limited to webinars. But the second you break away from that mindset and think more on the lines of virtual experiences and not necessarily virtual events, is when you start to open up the whole game.
So you're saying we shouldn't limit ourselves to thinking just, you know, purely in terms of webinars. There are different formats. And are you suggesting the format should really differ with what your objectives are? We just shouldn't just leap to the fact that we should do a webinar. There are different formats for different kind of objectives.
Absolutely.
And thinking that way, does that kind of liberate marketers? Does that kind of enable them to innovate a little bit more? Or is that something that would happen?
I'm hoping it does. It seems to be happening for our teams, and I'm hoping this, you know, would work for others as well. Because you know, when you start defining your intent, when you start very clearly defining the purpose of why we're doing what we're doing, then the format is incidental. When you, for example, if your purpose is to just broadcast a message, then webinar is a great format. But if your purpose is to engage, or if your purpose is to accelerate intelligence and you want to gather some insight, then you can create a lot, you know, more engaging formats to serve that purpose. In today's world, even a facilitated one-on-one meeting with a particular customer after they've gone through a specific journey can still be considered a virtual experience, because sales aren't having physical meetings anymore, and they welcome marketing helping them with facilitated one-on-one meetings after a prospect has gone through a certain journey or a cycle. So yes, I think it should help the second you break away from the comfort of what you already know and have always done for most of your life to what's possible. And the start, the foundation of that is really around setting the intent and knowing the intent very clearly.
Okay, no, I think that's a great point. Certainly something I've been guilty of myself is just leaping to the solution that, you know, the webinar is, you know, is the solution to everything. I think that's a great point. Turning to content generation for these kind of virtual experiences, how would you think about generating content for each of these kind of virtual experiences then?
Right, if you've defined your intent clearly and you know exactly why you're doing what you're doing, and start just casually, just observe the world around us. And classic example for me has always been what Google does. If you look at Google search results from 10 years ago versus how Google displays results today, it's become a Q&A format. It's evolved into, initially, even if I asked, 5 years ago, 10 years ago, even if I asked questions on Google, it would still lead me to landing pages that possibly have the answers to those questions. Today, the snippets actually answer your questions on Google, on Google's homepage. It doesn't even wait to lead me to a landing page. And the reason I'm actually saying this and the reason I'm bringing this up is really for anything content in today's world, it is about identifying the problems you're solving. So you know very clearly, once you've set the intent, know specifically who you're going after. Who are you? Who do you intend to talk to? What problems of theirs do you want to solve? Can you answer questions and build the rest of your content on that foundation? Know who you want to talk to. What problems of theirs do you want to solve? What questions of theirs can you answer?
Rather than the kind of digital experience being one that enables you to scale, you're saying the emphasis should be more on using digital more to target your audience and to make it a more personalized message. Is that really what you're suggesting?
Absolutely.
A lot of webinars out there, Rohan. So how do you differentiate your virtual events? What kind of advice would you give to marketers to differentiate their event? There are just so many out there right now.
Sure. I wish there was an answer that would work for everybody, but I can give you, a couple of pieces of input on what I would, try. It may or may not work for everybody, but till you don't try, you don't know. One way to differentiate what you're doing versus, what the world around us is doing, the fundamentals, like I said, don't change, right? It's the same as what you would have done in the pre-COVID world, there were always a ton of events happening and you would still run your events successfully. And the foundation to that would be identifying the right audience, making sure the content that you serve up solves a problem and it's relevant to who you're serving it to. So the same applies in the world of webinars or virtual experiences. And again, when you start identifying specifically what purpose you want to serve, it's kind of easier to build from there. And I can give you a couple of examples. There's a brand, a large brand that I saw, who wanted to create a series but keep it casual. And they actually titled their webinar series On the Couch. Literally, the presenter is sitting on a nice big blue couch with a cup of coffee, having a casual conversation. In some cases, it's the presenter alone himself. In other cases, he's got one more person with him on the couch and they're having a conversation. Sometimes they have presentations in terms of a PPT, a PowerPoint slide deck. Sometimes they don't. So really, their purpose, their intent in doing this was to show their prospects that they are casual, they are approachable, they're more human. I think it worked well with that purpose. So really, it's about defining your purpose and then building from it. If you want to show a certain quirky personality in what you're doing, there are ways to do that. Then there's this debate of should I do one webinar every 3 weeks or do one and stop, see how it goes, measure my response, measure my feedback and build on it. There is no universal solution to that. You as a marketer really need to take that call on why you're doing what you're doing and build from it. Given the current surge in webinars, I would strongly suggest theming your webinars based on the purpose that you're looking to solve and then keeping that periodic so that A, you get into the mindset of this has to be done at this regular frequency. And based on your theme, your content consistently aligns to that from your point of view. From your prospect's point of view, you kind of build a sense of anticipation. I like what I saw. I want to see more of it. And mentally, I'm tuned to going back to your series because I know what I'm going to get. So it kind of works both ways there.
Yeah, no, that makes a great deal of sense. There are some great points there. Just related to that, assuming that you kind of manage to differentiate your virtual event and you get a reasonable attendance, the challenge now, of course, with everybody doing so many webinars is kind of this fatigue, people are not really paying attention when they're on a webinar. How do you kind of keep audiences engaged? I mean, I know there are polls and Q&As, but is there some kind of advice or thoughts you can offer in terms of how to keep people engaged on these virtual events?
This question is as relevant in the physical world as much as the virtual world. I'm genuinely hoping marketers out there are not thinking of doing 2-day full day events in the virtual environment, because you really can't. You can't take the formats of a physical event world and expect to run the exact same format, virtually. That would just be ridiculous to expect someone to be, sitting in a virtual event for 2 full days. So really, it's about leveraging the platform well enough. Again, in doing that, the fundamentals don't change. The quality of your content, the story you've built. All of the polls and platform-related engagement tools that you can get based on which platform you have, those to me are incidental. Yes, they are great assets to be able to build insights. If you use the polls well enough, you can build a lot of intelligence, which you can then follow up with your prospects. You can follow up with them specific to what they said. For example, you run a virtual experience, for 20 people, you ran a poll, exactly who said what. Of course, given as long as you're complying with all of the PDPR, PDPA, GDPR regulations on personally identifiable information, and people are opting into it, you have the possibility to build intelligence that you can pass on to business, you can pass on to sales. If Rohan, attending a particular webinar, said that he currently uses, you know, for example, Eloqua as the marketing automation platform, you can pass on that intelligence to your sales reps and then expect them to have a more meaningful and intelligent conversation with me, knowing that I currently use Eloqua as my marketing automation. So those are ways in which you can push the envelope, but it's really about what you want to do and how you want to use the intelligence you actually build on while the engagement is on.
I guess it comes back to your kind of fundamental points also about targeting and knowing your audience and kind of shaping the content so that it is really specific. Just one tactical thing. I listen to a lot of webinars, and I know a lot of webinars are kind of, some of them are pre-recorded and they have the Q&A at the end. But I don't understand why more webinars don't have kind of Q&A mixed up all the way through, so that you have a little segment and then you have a Q&A to keep people kind of engaged that way. It always seems to be that the Q&A is right at the end and it's kind of squeezed into 5 minutes. I think more webinars should maybe include Q&A at different segments. Do you have any thoughts on that?
Well, I completely agree. I'm actually surprised. I'm surprised you're saying that most webinars actually have Q&A only at the end. Most webinars we end up creating, in a 30-minute webinar, we'd have at least three different intervals, almost always equidistant, to make sure that there is some amount of engagement happening. I couldn't agree more.
Okay, well, I guess that's down to me. I'm listening to the wrong webinars. I should certainly be listening to your webinars in future, because that makes a great deal of sense to me. I kind of wanted to ask the question about kind of amplification, pre and post event promotions. I just wondered if you had any fresh ideas on that, because there's a certain way that people generally promote events or webinars that's standard practice. And in my experience, more often than not, the follow-up after event is, again, just conforms to what everybody does. Or actually, there's very little that goes on after an event. Everybody's moving on to the next event. Is there any kind of thoughts you have on how people could do pre and post-event promotion better?
Absolutely, Jeremy. When you say fresh ideas, it always, makes me question. Sometimes everything that you're doing seems like the most obvious thing for you to be doing. So I'm not sure if if I have fresh ideas to share, right. But I do have some ideas to share. like I said, right, a lot of this is conversations that we within the Oracle marketing team have consistently with each other, and how we can push the envelope. So emails, of course, are a default channel, right? We can use the marketing automation platform to segment the database and segment our audience based on their needs and the intelligence we have, so that it goes out specifically to the ones who are looking for that, and it's contextually relevant to them. So that's, of course, a given. So apart from spamming the heck out of your database, what else can you do? We try and leverage paid media campaigns. We almost always have an always on digital campaign running, and we look at how we could integrate promoting webinars both before and the on-demand version available after within these always on digital journeys. Apart from that, I would actually I consistently push our teams to think of going beyond the paid earned media into the actual owned channels that we may have. Collaborate with the inside sales teams, collaborate with the sales folks, collaborate with the solution consulting teams, anyone who is engaging with a customer, who has a customer facing touch point, should actively be, actively be sharing, either socially or on email, sessions that are being built, which solve certain specific problems that prospects they are talking to might find helpful. So that's another set of channels that you should consider. And of course, apart from this, you have the options of collaborating with third parties. We actively look for, because we try and make sure our content is 100% educational. So we actively pursue, partnerships with industry bodies, trade bodies, and associations who who could also leverage this content to educate their members. So we do our fair share.
Okay, well, thanks for that. I think there were some fresh ideas in there, I think. So thank you very much for that. Well, listen, I could certainly talk for much longer, Rowan. And definitely would like to get you back on the podcast. But you know, once again, I wanted to thank you for appearing on the podcast. If people wanted to reach out to you, what is the best way that people could reach out to you?
Either LinkedIn or Twitter. Rohan Chandok, that's my full name. I'm available and fairly active on LinkedIn, @ Rohan Chandok on Twitter. Those would be the best ways to get in touch.
Okay, well, I will put that in the show notes as well. So once again, thanks very much for being with us today, Rohan. Really appreciate that.
Absolute pleasure, Jeremy. I hope it was worth your time.
Absolutely. It was indeed, Rohan. Thanks very much. So thanks for listening. If you enjoyed this podcast, do share. We are available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Google Podcasts. If you want to access other podcasts and related articles, you can visit us at omjmedia.com. That's omjmedia.com. Until next time, bye-bye.